Hey, this is Andrew Jacobs, and I'm sharing my time capsule on Growing Up Rock with Stephen Michael.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know.
This is the Growing Up Rock Podcast with your host, Stephen Michael.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Growing Up Rock. Time capsule. On today's show, we have Andrew Jacobs. Andrew, what's going on, buddy?
Hi, Stephen. How's it going?
It's going great, my friend. Welcome to the show. We're happy to have you on.
Yeah, I'm happy to be on. You guys are a new up-and-coming podcast, but you've done some great work so far, and I think it's just going to grow from here, and I think there's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, so like on most of the episodes that Sonny and I do, we talk about our belief that everybody has a rock and roll story to tell. And so we ask listeners to write in and go to the website, grownuprock.com, and just kind of go to the contact form and tell us your story. And whether that's on our Facebook page or whether it's at the website, we just look for people's stories, because it could be something to do with the first time you heard an album or your first concert, or in your case, working at a record store and running into the guy from Slayer, right?
Back in 2002, I was working as a substitute teacher, and as a substitute teacher anyway, you get paid once a month, and I couldn't wait a month to get paid each time, so to supplement my income, I took a part-time job at an FYE record store. One day when I was working, I noticed someone in the store who looked like Kerry King, and then he started walking up to my cash register with a South Park DVD in his hand, and as I noticed him walking closer, I could see his tattoos, so I knew it was him. And he walked up to my register and he put the DVD on the counter, and he said, "I've been looking all over for this." Now, I'm only like a very casual Slayer fan, and I guess also because, you know, I didn't want to come off like a fanboy, I didn't say anything to him. But he was nice, and I rang him up, and one of the funny things is right before he left, at the time that he came in, this was right around the time that Christina Aguilera's album Stripped was about to be released. So we had this like huge life-size posters, like bigger than Christina Aguilera herself, and she was half naked in it. And I remember as Kerry was leaving the store, he like stopped and looked at the poster. He just stared at it for about like 10 seconds and just kept walking out. It was funny.
And why wouldn't you? Come on.
Yeah, she's a good-looking girl.
If you're a heterosexual male and you saw that, you would definitely want to stand and look at that for a little while. At least we know Kerry King has a sense of humor if he's buying a South Park DVD, right? Because those guys crack me up.
Yeah, I used to be a huge South Park fan.
I like South Park. It's just they don't care. They're equal opportunity offenders, as I like to call them, and I love it. So that's awesome. Well, so tell us a little bit about how you first got into music. What were some of your earliest memories of music growing up?
Well, I was born in 1970, and my parents were both huge rock and roll fans. They had this enormous record collection, and pretty much from the day I was born, I think I've been hearing Beatles music, and not coincidentally, the Beatles are my favorite band of all time.
Right on.
I've been listening to them basically my entire life. They're just a band that I can, it doesn't matter how bad my day happens to be going, I put on a Beatles record and you know, my problems just kind of melt away for a little while.
Right.
My parents had, you know, just lots of different rock and roll records, the Rolling Stones, Bob Dylan, The Who, Janis Joplin, The Doors, Leonard Cohen.
So it was all rock and roll, man.
They had like, you know, classical and soundtracks and that as well, but primarily you know, rock and roll was their thing.
So can you zero back in on a song or an album that you kind of feel like that defined a period of time for you in your life?
I would say that an album that really had a profound influence on me was in 1985. 1985 was really the year that I became a diehard music fan. I started collecting it and spent any extra money that I had, I would spend on music. And an album that really changed me in a profound way was the Generation X self-titled, which was released in 1978. And Generation X was a band that was fronted by Billy Idol.
Uh-huh. Yep, I know who they are.
Yeah, and a friend of mine actually had the album, and he made a cassette copy of it for me. And that album basically was my gateway into punk rock music. Punk rock music was the first type of music that I really, really started collecting. Along those same lines, another record that is probably just as important to me, or actually probably even a little more, is Nevermind the Bollocks, Here's the Sex Pistols by the Sex Pistols.
Right on.
Which
how can it not be, right?
Yeah, it's you know, it's a classic. And that album I first heard, I first heard it also in 1985, but I didn't purchase it until 1986. And then the Sex Pistols quickly became my favorite band. They were my very first favorite band, and I started collecting, you know, vinyl and posters and T-shirts and anything I could get my hands on, stickers. I would say those two records were definitely the two that made me a music fan.
Yeah, and I think you touched on something, which is we can be around music growing up in our early years. There can be music around the house and things like that. But I think that as a true music fan, and maybe, you know, I'm just speculating, but maybe you don't really become a music fan until you start having allowances and having your own money that you can spend on records and things like that. I don't know, but all that kind of seems to occur with a lot of people around that same age frame, which for you, you just said you would have been 15 years old, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, once, you know, that's probably like your freshman year in high school or something like that at 15. And so you start to hang out with those like-minded people that are getting into music and spending their allowances on music and whatever, you know, whatever it is. I kind of identify with that. So I completely understand that. And so tell us what were some of the first album purchases that you made?
There's four albums that immediately spring to mind. And I got them around the same time, around 1984 and into 1985. They are Duran Duran, Seven and the Ragged Tiger. Duran Duran was also the first 45 that I purchased. Was the Duran Duran single, Is There Something I Should Know?
Yeah.
I was a big fan of them when I was like 12, 13.
Yep.
Another one was Van Halen 1984 and Rat Out of the Cellar. Those are the two first hard rock, and I guess, I know some people consider Rat heavy metal. Some consider them rock.
Hard rock, yeah.
Yeah. So those two I obtained also in 1984. And then the fourth one was the this was even, I think this was even before I heard Generation X and the Sex Pistols. I got the soundtrack to the 1984 cult classic Repo Man.
Which for a lot of people that don't know that movie, it is a cult classic. And if I'm not mistaken, it was it had Emilio Estevez in it, right?
Yeah, and the recently deceased Harry Dean Stanton.
Yep, and it was primarily a punk soundtrack, right?
Yeah, it was all punk. Black Flag, Circle Jerks, Fear. Yeah, all the big Suicidal Tendencies. Iggy Pop actually sang the theme song.
Yeah, so it's a really, really diverse group of four records, right? Because you have represented there punk, which you said you got into punk pretty much. That was your first music of choice. And then you've got your hard rock represented by Van Halen and Rat. And then you've got pop, represented by Duran Duran. So it's quite a diverse thing because obviously the most least unpunk thing in the world is probably Duran Duran. And then you've got, and then you've got punk, and then probably the least rock and roll thing for a punker would have been like probably Rat or Van Halen, more Rat than anything, because they were a little bit flashy and glamish. So I'm guessing that punkers probably didn't look really too fondly onto them.
I've always kept my music taste as diverse as possible. I also, in addition to punk and rock and pop, I've been a fan of rap music for a long time. I've been a fan of
You like it all.
Yeah.
Hey, and you know what?
Everything.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I applaud that because it's weird for me because I think I was musically prejudiced for a long time in my teens where I didn't want to hear anything that wasn't hard rock or metal.
Yeah.
But what it did for me is that as I grew and aged and got more mature, it opened up a world for me to be able to go back and discover so much music that I'd kind of turned my nose up at one point in time in my life. So it's great because even though people may have been listening to Prince or Duran Duran or R.E.M. or The Police for years and years and years, it was like hearing a new band for me. I mean, obviously I'd heard them before, but I hadn't dug into the full records and the back catalog and all that stuff. So I think it's a good thing. So very cool.
Thank you.
Any concerts of note that impacted you in a positive or negative way growing up?
Well, my first real concert was Sting at the Forum on March 20th, 1988.
Nice.
And I actually I went on a website called Setlist FM.
Yep.
And found the set list from that night. And he played a lot of Police songs. He played like 8 Police songs that night.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, this tour was the Nothing Like the Sun tour. This is his second album. And he he'd gone pretty jazzy at this point. His music had become quite jazzy, and the Police songs I remember were played as such. They weren't played as as rocking as they were originally intended in the Police. They were kind of jazzed up and I guess kind of adult contemporaryized, for lack of a better word. And unfortunately, for me personally, I didn't care for it. And it's somewhat embarrassing for me to say that Sting, is my first concert, because I know that a lot of people are not too fond of Sting, particularly because, and I'm with them. A lot of his material after about the first album, gets kind of, I don't know, a little too family friendly for my taste.
I like Sting. I like the Police, and I don't think you should ever be embarrassed about music. I've heard doing this show, just in the short amount of time I've done this show, I've heard way worse first concerts than Sting. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I've heard a few really funny ones myself. I don't really go to concerts that much anymore. Just money's, part of it, and sure, another part of it, my wife isn't a fan of concerts, and there are some bands that I haven't seen that I still do want to see. I'd really like to see Van Halen. I never saw them. And I'd really like to see Paul McCartney. I've never seen him. There's a handful of bands that I'd like to see, but a lot of the concerts that I went to that really had a profound effect on me were bands that I don't think any of your listeners will have heard of. A lot of them were local to where I'm from, Orange County, California. And they were not, a lot of them were not around for very long, like maybe a year or two, and they only really played locally. But they had a profound effect on me. But I've seen a lot of big concerts as well. And I remember, of all of the big concerts that I've seen, the one that had the biggest effect on me was when I saw the Sex Pistols in 1996 at the Hollywood Palladium.
That was when they reunited, right? I kind of remember that.
Yeah, it was their first reunion tour, and they got Glenn Matlock, who was their original bass player. They got him back to play on the tour, and it was just amazing. I mean, they sounded so good. And there's a live album that they actually released during that time called Filthy Lucre Live that is a really good live album. I'm sure that it's been touched up. It was touched up in the studio, overdubs and whatnot. But it's a really good live album, and they were so good that night that I saw them.
Right on. Very cool. Awesome. Well, so... before we kind of put an end to all this, what are you listening to today? What are some of your bands of choice today?
Let's see. I mostly listen to podcasts nowadays. I don't really listen to much music, but when I do listen to music, a lot of my favorites: the Beatles, Kiss, Frank Zappa, Black Sabbath.
What's your favorite Beatles record?
I usually when I do like lists or whatever, I usually just say the Stereo box set, but I know that's cheating.
Yep. I need a specific album, sir.
Yes, if I had to pick a specific album, I would probably go with Sergeant Pepper.
Awesome. Very cool choice. Okay, cool. Do you have anything you want to tell the listeners before we close this thing out?
Well, basically, I just want to say that I really applaud you, Stephen, and your co-host, Sonny Pooney, for starting this podcast. And I know, you know, it's not easy to do a podcast. It's, you know, for one thing, there's just so many damn podcasts.
That's a fact.
And particularly, especially music podcasts. I think there's more music podcasts than any other podcast. Yeah. So I hope you guys keep at it, and I hope that you continue to get lots of great guests. I really enjoyed your interview with Phil Schouse from the Gene Simmons Band.
Awesome.
And I really, really liked your Rockin' Pod episodes. I liked all of the Rockin' Pod episodes that I've heard. I've tried to listen to as many of them as I can. And
boy, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, there sure are. And they keep coming, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
With all the podcasters at that thing, we have content for days between all the podcasts.
And it's all great, too. I mean, every single one, I just hearing, you know, everybody meeting for the first time and just shooting the shit and, you know, just coming together at this thing that, you know, is like the first of its kind, and hopefully many more to come. And I certainly will be at the next one if there's already talk of Chris Sinzak's already pretty much confirmed that there is going to be a part two. I'll definitely be at, assuming it's in, I mean, he mentioned possibly having it in Canada, which is, you know, that's fine, but I don't know if I'll be able to do Canada.
I think we're all going to not let him do that. I think it's going to end up being in Nashville again, because
that'd be great.
Everybody seems to like Nashville, but, you know,
and it seems like there's a lot of local artists there that can come out and do signings. Yep.
Think about this, Andrew. By the time we get done listening to all the content that came out from this 2017 Rockin' Pod Expo, it'll be time for the 2018 Rockin' Pod Expo.
Seriously, it will. you're not wrong.
So usually between all the podcasts, we can get enough content that'll actually last the entire year in between the two expos.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And then we got the Kiss Expo coming up in January here in Atlanta. So,
and so I assume you're going?
That'll provide. Yeah, well, Grown Up Rock's going to have a table there. We're going to be there, and I think
so you might get an exclusive with Vinny.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen in any way, shape or form, but I am looking forward to maybe trying to get some listener stories and get some people to tell us their best Kiss stories or their best Vinnie Vincent stories, whatever. So it should be fun time. I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what. Quickly, pick a song to play us out. What song would you like to hear to play us out?
I'm going to... I can pick any song?
You can pick any song you want, dude.
Okay. I'm going to pick it's the theme song to my favorite TV drama of all time. If you've been friends with me on Facebook, you'll have noticed that my favorite TV show since 2012 had been Sons of Anarchy. And then this past year, I discovered Dexter, and I got really, really, really into Dexter. And then towards the end of that show's run, it really started to get kind of lame and crappy. But anyway, so I've reverted back to Sons of Anarchy is once again my favorite TV show of all time. And the song that I'm choosing is the theme song. It's called This Life, and I believe it's by Curtis Stigers.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I love that song, and I love that show, and I think that's a great song to end with.
All right, This Life, Curtis Stigers, here you go. Andrew, I appreciate your time, my friend.
Thank you, Stephen.
We'll see you. Peace out.
Right into this world, all alone. You gotta take your soul. You're on your own. The crow flies straight, a perfect line. On the devil's bed until you die. This life is short, baby, that's a fact. Better live it right, you ain't coming back. Gotta raise some hell before they take you down. Gotta live this life. Gotta look this world in the eye. Gotta live this life till you die. You better have soul. Nothing less. But when it's business time, it's life or death. The king is dead. The light goes on. Don't lose your head. Well, the deal goes down. Keep your
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.